You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
"Repent ye," said John the Baptist. "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." It certainly is. That's what Christmas is all about.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, give us the spirit of true repentance with a real change of heart and life through the good news of the coming of your Son as the Savior of the world and our Savior too. In his name we pray. Amen. Christmas is coming on all over the world. The celebration, if it can be called that, runs all the way from a children's pageant complete with a live donkey to the annual office party where everybody gets liquored up and does things he wouldn't be caught dead doing at any other time of the year. From a lighted tree in a plaza to a stage show in a nightclub of a city of the Far East to the tune of Silent Night. If that is disconcerting to anyone, and maybe even a little bit shocking, let's look at what people usually refer to as preparing for Christmas. Not so long ago, I was told about a man who resolved to do all of his preparing for Christmas in plenty of time this year. In September, he did his Christmas shopping. In October, he prepared his Christmas cards for mailing. In November, he selected his tree. And in early December, he took his children to see the Christmas decorations and displays in the local stores. He was all ready by the middle of December, able to sit back, totally relaxed, and to say, "Let Christmas come. I'm all prepared for it this year." There's nothing bad about what this man did. There's nothing very good about it either. The whole thing is a hollow ring. Even for people who are not Christians, it appears to be superficial, a kind of ritual to be gone through, preferably enough in advance of the date of Christmas so that you don't have to rush at the last moment. There must be something more to Christmas than that. There is. The birthday of Christ is not just another date on the calendar. It doesn't make any difference whether December 25 was the actual date of his birth or not. People want to celebrate his birth. And that's Christmas. Getting ready to celebrate is a good idea. To celebrate a wedding, it's good to get ready. The best preparation for a wedding, for the couple who are getting married, is to take a good and maybe even hard look at themselves and what they're getting into. With eyes open, they are in a position to celebrate the great thing that is happening to them, the new life they're beginning together. There's something special about Christmas. The Son of God was really born as a baby into the world. There's something special about Christmas. It isn't just the angels and the shepherds. It isn't just trees and lights. It isn't just the giving of gifts. It's Jesus Christ. There's something earth-shaking about the event of his birth, something great and good from God that calls for celebration. Whether you celebrate on Christmas Day or on every other day of the year, it doesn't make any difference. The birth of Jesus Christ calls for celebration. The church down through the ages has made a big point of getting ready to celebrate Christmas. People who take Jesus Christ for real can take Christmas seriously as well as joyfully. They do not think that it is at all improper or out of place to do some personal stock-taking of themselves before Christmas. as young couples ought to do before they enter into the celebration of a wedding. That's why the story of John the Baptist has always occupied a prominent place in the church's preparation for Christmas. The fact is, that's why John the Baptist came, to help people prepare for Christmas. It is part and parcel of the Christmas story. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. There went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John the Baptist was a remarkable man. He looked different. People probably criticized him, but they paid attention. He didn't care about clothes and cared even less about food. He may not have looked like much, but Jesus Christ said of him, "Of them who are born of women, there has not been a greater than John the Baptist." It was not just that John the Baptist was a free and independent spirit, intent upon breaking the dress codes of the day. He was a prophet. He told people the truth about themselves. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John just cut across all the religious clichés and the worship patterns of his time. He knew what he was doing. "This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John was always telling people about the coming of Christ. He was always telling people that they needed to repent. "Get ready," he said, "preparing to receive him in the only way he can be received, with repentance of the heart." The man had a burning urgency. The people sensed that. Jerusalem turned out, and so did all of Judea and all the region about Jordan. They were baptized by him, confessing their sins. There was no hypocrisy here, just straight out thinking and straightforward action. This is the only way to live with God, who created us and sent his Son to redeem us, to repent. That goes for religious people as well as non-religious people. There aren't any who do not need to repent. In our own day, we have to explain what repentance means. This is not just jargon. It means being able to say to God, "I am sorry." An awful lot of pious people are not ready to say, "I am sorry." They're all right, but everybody else needs to repent. There are an awful lot of other people with no piety at all who think of themselves as all right, even though it's okay for church people to repent if that's what they want to do. For all too many people, repentance has become a ritual that consists of some kind of religious acting, of breast beating and deploring the state of the world, without any personal involvement at all. There are those who are ready to repent for everybody else. Probably people like that need more repentance than anyone else. It's so easy to cover up refusal to repent with the trappings of religion. Repentance is a complete change of mind and heart. It is not just saying to God, "I'm sorry for what I've been and what I've done." It's turning to God with confidence in him. Not only that he exists, but that he loves, that he forgives and has the power to give life. Repentance means to evaluate your own life honestly, to look at what you've been, and then to do something positive about it. Repentance means change, a big change. It's turning around a full 180 degrees. It means turning away from yourself to God, from your sin to His grace. Now that's repentance. It's the message of John the Baptizer brought to his people. It is the message of today. The coming of Jesus Christ makes repentance necessary, and it also brings it about. Repentance is not just a once-in-a-lifetime proposition. Martin Luther said in the very first of the 95 theses he posted on the church door at Wittenberg, when our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, said, "Repent ye," he meant that a Christian's whole life should be repentance. We've come a long way from that. Many Christians spend their time criticizing other people and patting themselves on the back. That's not repentance. That's just regurgitation of the same old stuff that keeps our world from celebrating anything. You can call it pride, but you might just as well call it sin. A few years ago, this broadcast was supplied to a small radio station in the Midwest of the United States on plastic records. There was only one person operating the whole station on that Sunday, doing every job from engineer to editing the news. He put on the record of the Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations, and felt that he could then enjoy a 25-minute coffee break. By accident, while he was drinking his coffee in another room, the record got stuck as I spoke this one word, repent. For a full minute, the whole audience of that radio station heard only one word repeated again and again. Repent, 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 and again, repent. The man who told me this listened to the program. He said he finally got the idea himself. Repent! It isn't just quitting what you're doing, like quitting your meanness. It is turning to God and recognizing who you are and who He is. You are a sinner, and God forgives. You need redemption, and God redeems. You need grace, and God gives you grace. You need life, and God gives you life. All of that is in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, grace, redemption, and life. Repentance means changing your ideas about sin. It isn't just a little failing you can somehow explain away to God someday. No explanation will do. All that selfishness, that lovelessness, that hatefulness is going to come home to roost someday. It's going to come home to the man who said, "I have a lovely wife, a beautiful home, fine children, a good job, and high standing in the community. God's been very good to me, and I deserve it." The same thing is going to happen to people who think the only thing they have to do is to go to church once a year, listen to the choir, get through the sermon without going to sleep, and greet everybody with a cheery Merry Christmas after the service is over. That's not enough. It won't do. It's going to take some tall explaining someday. The same thing goes for all you people who think that you can go your own merry way, forget about God, do your thing, as if that would satisfy the just and holy God. Your thing could be exactly the thing that you're going to have to explain to him someday. John said, "Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. The Lord is coming. Repent, all you church people, and all you people who never set your foot inside a church. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John did not mince words. To people who considered themselves very fine religious people, he said, "O generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits that are suitable for repentance." They were proud people. They said, "Our ancestry is good." John replied, "God is able to raise up children from these stones who will be better children of your ancestors than you are. Now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor to gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now, the one who will do that is Christ. John's talking about him. Christ has judgment to hand out. You know the stuff that is left over after the wheat has been threshed, the chaff, is good for nothing but to be put into the flames. That's what's going to happen to you, John said. You're not wheat. You're chaff. There's an awful lot of chaff around these days. I have to ask myself, am I chaff? Have I really turned from myself to God? Do I look to him for salvation instead of to myself? If I am at all preoccupied with myself, and pride is what makes me go, I'm chaff. So are you. It doesn't make any difference how many times you go to church, how much money you give, how many other things you do to satisfy your religious instincts. Without repentance, you're chaff. It doesn't make any difference at all how you struggle to get along without God, how irreligious you claim to be, how much better than those people who go to church when you don't. You're chaff. Self-importance and self-piety are pure deception, just that and nothing more. Our world is trying to live on its own deception, and it won't work. That's chaff. Repent ye, said John. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It certainly is. That's what Christmas is all about. The kingdom of heaven has broken into the kingdom of this world in the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the way God does things. He sends his Son to be one of us, to live our life, to die our death. Over Christmas hangs not only the shadow, but the reality of the cross of Christ. That baby was born to die. He died for us. We had better repent. He brings us with his kindness to repentance. Jesus Christ was not just a good man, although he was that too. When the fullness of the time was come, said one of his men, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. We've all got the law weighing down on us, holding us tight, shaking everything, passing judgment. There are no loopholes in God's law. You can't get around it. No matter how you ignore it or disregard it, there it is. There is Christ. He was made under the law to redeem those who are under the law. He died and he lives. He died for us, all of us. And he lives for us, all of us. He lives for you. And the kingdom is at hand, my friend, for you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I've known people who would say that John was psychopathic. He was too narrow-minded, too one-sided for our enlightened day. Probably he had a split personality. But John would not care, even today. The axe is laid to the root of the trees, he said, and every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's the way it is. He comes, said John. The fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the threshing floor. The wheat will be gathered in, and the chaff will be burned. My friend, it's either or. Either you go your own way and live in that pride of yours, or you repent. Turn around, turn to God to get the good news that's really good. The kingdom of heaven is at hand in Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand in Jesus Christ. The kingdom comes to save, and he is mighty to save. Get ready for Christmas, my friend. Get ready. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen.